Tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 55, just on the first portion of verses 1 through 8 is what we just sang, but we'll be looking at this psalm in its entirety. If you're using your pew Bible, this psalm begins on page 603. Hear now the word of God. To the choir master with stringed instruments, the maskil of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. Salah. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruins is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I can bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their tent, and in their heart. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, Salah, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Let us bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing once again. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would move us and guide us by your Spirit this evening. We pray that he would be at work mightily in our hearts and minds, giving us understanding and inscribing his word upon our hearts, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray that he would also be with my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ, our glorious Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. The thrust of this psalm that we'll be focusing on tonight comes from actually the final verses, the opening and closing of those final verses, verse 22 and then the close of verse 23. Verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, then ending in verse 23, but I will trust in you. There is a very deep, dark issue in David's life here, and a lot of enemies that are surrounding him, as other psalms that he has written address this as well. And this psalm and its theme call us to, in those times, to cast those burdens upon God, to give them to him, and to trust him in those times, that one, he knows what he's doing, he is sovereign, and that he will in his time work, but to rest securely in Him and in His care. So that is the theme that we'll be looking at. It's the opening of verse 22 coupled with the closing of verse 23. Cast your burden on the Lord and trust in Him. Now, as we consider this theme, we'll be looking at the psalm in four parts. First of all, David's plea for mercy in the opening eight verses. Secondly, David's foes are all around in verses 9 to 15. Third, God's sure deliverance and comfort in verses 16 to 21. And then we'll be ending with the final point, cast your burden on the Lord and trust in Him, verses 22 and 23. So first of all, David's plea for mercy we have in the opening eight verses. The psalm begins, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me." This psalm opens with a call to attention, calling upon God not to look away, not to ignore what is going on in his life, but to act in much in the way that he did and when Moses saw the burning bush and turned aside. What did God say? "But I have heard, I have seen the affliction of my people." So David here is calling upon God to look, to see, not to turn a deaf ear to what is going on, but to give attention to his plea. There is a great tumult here in these opening verses. Attend to me, answer me, I am restless. David is restless in his complaint, an image of sleeplessness, stress so pressing upon him. He is losing sleep and rest. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. And this phrase, "where they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me." The language here is not simply just, dropping trouble upon me, but it has the image of kind of pouring out more than just, that. At least when I hear the word drop, I think of, you get little medicine droppers, and somebody's like, add two drops of such and such into, whatever. And but it's not just simply, just dropping a medicine dropper type, dropping a trouble, but it's, pouring out and bringing and dumping trouble upon David. So there's a sense where he is overwhelmed. And that is shown also in the rest of the verses here in this opening section. "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, would fly away and be at rest." One of the things that may be kind of surprising as we first look through the psalm is that this is, David here is expressing a desire to flee. This man, this mighty warrior, who has had much success in battle, he wants to flee. He wants to fly away. He wishes he had wings as a dove, and he could just alight as a bird and go off into the wilderness in safety and have nothing to do with the issues at hand. I think one of the things that we can learn from this is that such a fear, as I'm sure each and every one of us have faced or will face in our life, a desire of facing something that we fear, and our instinct and our desire is to run away, to flee. These desires are not a sign of weakness or cowardice. I mean, this is, as I said, this is David. This is the mighty warrior king. The man who God said, you're not allowed to build my house because your hands are full of blood. He was a king who knew war, who knew battles. And here he wants to flee and fly away. There's a couple of things we can learn from this section. One, let us learn that we're not alone in our fears. Here is David, the great saint of old. He had a very similar fear that we share as well. And let's also learn of where to turn in those fears. David, in the face of this opposition and in this fear and this desire to flee and to flee away, he turns to his Lord God, seeking his aid and his help, praying to him, give ear to me, give attention to me. So as we then move on in the psalm in point two, David's foes are all around. Beginning in verse 9, we read, "Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and in iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruins in its midst, oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace." There's really in this section, I see kind of a twofold opposition that David is facing. This first one is, from those kind of an external trouble that he's facing. He talks about the city, those, on the city walls. Day and night they go around on its walls, iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruins are in the midst of the city, oppression and fraud are in its marketplaces. As king, he had a very, he had a heart set towards this city, not only as its leader, but as we also know, this city is considered, the city of God. It's the city of Zion. It's Jerusalem. And so his concern here is, with it being the city of God, he's looking out and seeing unrighteousness, injustice. He's seeing frauding, oppression, ruin, iniquity, trouble, swirling around within the city of God. And his heart is so bent towards it that it pains him. My heart is in anguish within me, and terrors of death have fallen upon me. But in addition to this kind of outward, external one, there's one that's more closer, that's closer to home, within his own confidence. He says here in verse 12, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals instantly with me, then I can hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend." This is language that is very reminiscent of Jesus and Judas and the relationship they had. Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. Jesus calling him at one point his friend. Someone close within that circle of disciples that betrayed Jesus, here also in David's life, one who was close to him, one who he calls his equal, his companion, my familiar friend. And then he reminisces about their life and friendship. "We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng." Someone he enjoyed a very close, intimate friendship with. It's kind of an enemy within, a close friend. And what we can learn from this section is, one, external sins, and applying it to our own life, external sins can overwhelm us in temptations that go with them. They can even threaten the very church that we love and we hold close to our heart. The city of God is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ. And as we look out, we see sins affecting even the church, his bride, should move us to rending our hearts here. As David says, "My heart is in anguish within me." So we need to be aware. We need to appeal to God to stem this on His for His glory and praise. And then also we can learn that dealing with our internal enemies. These are the most dangerous. And this isn't a close friend that we might have, but our internal enemy is the one within, our old nature that rises up against us. Many times I think we can rightly apply what is spoken of in the Psalms of enemies coming and fighting against God's people, or our own close familiar friends of David rising up against them, would be this type of application of external temptations or sins that would lead us down a path of error, and also our internal struggle with the spirit and the flesh that Paul talks about. And we need to have our eyes open to this and be constantly leaning upon God in these battles that we wage. And that leads us also then to the third point, God's sure deliverance and comfort, in verses 16 through 21. "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old, Salah, because they do not change and do not fear God. The companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. In the times when maybe external temptation or our own flesh seems to be rising up against us in a way that we would anguish and fear, we're to turn to God and rest upon Him, call upon Him. But I call on God, and the Lord will save me. He will also redeem our soul. He is the one that gives us strength in the battle that we wage and against the multitude that is truly arrayed against us. Verse 17 really gives us, I think, a pattern in these times that would be good to follow. In times when we are most tried, when we are most at our wit's end, our temptation is to kind of set aside prayer, to set aside the study of God's Word, but really the opposite should be true. Of those times when we are most pressed to turn to Him more often. This is a pattern that we see in Daniel's life. In Daniel 6, chapter 6, verse 10, when the edict went out that you're only to bow and pray to the king, what did Daniel do? But as was his custom, we read in that verse, he went to his home and he prayed three times a day to the Lord his God. Now, it wasn't some magical number, but it's just showing that his attitude of prayer, he was continually going to the Lord. And David here, in this instance, evening, morning, and at noon, at the beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, in the end of the day, beseeching God and searching Him and His will. So one of the things we can learn from this section is that without God fighting our battles, there's no chance for us to win. We will be overwhelmed by our enemies. We will be overwhelmed by temptation and sin. We will be overwhelmed by our flesh. Without God fighting our battles, we will lose. And so we must go to Him, seeking Him earnestly to give us strength in the battles we wage. Secondly, we can learn that the greater the trial, the greater need for prayer. David was in a very tough, difficult situation with a very close friend rising up against him, as well as seeing just a general falling short within the city in general. Probably those who followed his companion. And he took then to more prayer. He prayed more often to God. And that leads us then to our fourth and final point, that what David is doing here and is praying evening, morning, and noon, he's casting his burden upon the Lord. He's trusting in Him in the situation. We see in verse 23 that, "But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days." God will cast down our enemies. We don't have any physical enemies that we are fighting with and struggling with, but the enemies that we fight against is the spiritual warfare. The war has already been won. We have many battles throughout our life, but God has won the war. He will cast them down forever and never to rise again. And secondly, in 22, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. It's a comforting verse showing of who it is that gives us our success, who it is that gives us our victory. It is God who sustains us. It is God who will never permit, He will never allow His righteous to be moved. So as we draw this to a close in this section, there are three things that we can learn. First, we can learn that in every single battle, we are victorious. We will be victorious. That can be a real encouragement to keep in mind. Yes, we stumble and we fall, and we lose a battle here and there, but we will be victorious, ultimately, and in the end. Every single enemy that we have, that our flesh brings to us, the sins that we deal with, will be done away with, will be removed. In every single battle, we are victorious. We can also learn, secondly, that God is sovereign in our justification and our sanctification. He is the one who has saved us by His grace, and also by His grace, He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who does not permit that the righteous be moved. But by his grace, he moves us closer to the image of his Son, pruning us. And because of these things, as we, like David, face enemies from without and enemies from within close at home, as at times in our life, they seem to overwhelm us and to be something that causes us fear, something where we want to run away and hide from the situation. Let us remember that God is the one who gives us victory. He is the one who sustains us. And so therefore, let us learn to cast our burdens upon the Lord, to trust in Him in these times, that He is working through His plan, and that He does have a reason for these things. And let us cast our burdens on Him, that He might sustain us and carry us on to victory. Amen. Our gracious God, we do pray that You would continue to uphold us. And as You say in Your Word, You fight for us. You fight on our behalf. You are the one who wages war against our enemies. You are the one, Lord, who sustains us and upholds us. You do not permit that Your righteous will be moved. But Lord, You work mightily in us. And at times we see that victory very clearly, and at other times we seem to be running away or desiring to run away in fear of what lies ahead. But Lord, we pray that in each situation, we, Lord, would trust in You, casting our burdens upon You, and resting upon the sure victory that can only be found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In whose beautiful name we pray. Amen.